You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Okay, that might just give you a little hint of what we're talking about today. That's Respect by Aretha Franklin, if it didn't catch you. You know, one thing that you might not know is that while Aretha Franklin sang that, it was actually written by Otis Redding. Otis Redding, being male, wrote that song. It's been read, been sung by Aretha Franklin, and one of the songs I really like. And it brings up the topic of what we want to talk today about, and that's love and respect. If you're not familiar, there's actually a book that is titled that, Love and Respect. It's by Emerson Egerich's, and I will tell you right up front, it comes from a Christian perspective. But I think it has some value for all of us, for anyone, no matter what your perspective is. He pulls from a biblical verse that has created a lot of dissension in the Christian world about marriage. And I don't want to get caught on that theology. I want to pull a piece that I think is crucial. And that is that Emerson talks about the need for love and respect. And he talks about that because he says that he feels like men are much more about respect and women are much more about love. Now, I'm not as convinced as he is that there's a gender difference, but I do agree that there is an underrepresentation of respect. And so that's why I want to talk about it. You see, this whole idea of how love is the central piece of marriage has caused lots of problems in our culture. We often confuse this whole idea of love anyway. We talk about this gushy feeling. I don't know how many times I've had people say, I just don't have that feeling anymore, so something must be wrong. Rather than recognizing that the feeling that's fueled there, the feeling behind that is often a fleeting feeling. It's not a permanent feature in our lives. And people often say, you know, I think you're supposed to feel like we did when we first met. And I think back to myself about how I felt when I first met my wife. And thank goodness I don't have that constant level of ferocity to my emotions. Otherwise, I would get nothing else done. And so what we miss is the fact that that's a temporary state. I've talked about this other places about the fact that there's a difference between that adrenaline-fueled attraction, right? That adrenaline-fueled attraction and the endorphin-fueled attraction. The adrenaline-fueled attraction is what we feel in the beginning. It's that, you know, all those butterflies and we're so excited to see somebody and, you know, we want to know everything about them. And let's face it, over time, we get to know them. And there are not many secrets. And so when we hit that many secrets, it's hard to manage that same level of desire. And really, when we're talking about desire, one of the things that a lot of people miss is that desire really is adrenaline driven. It's driven by a lot of very deep, primitive parts of us, but it's adrenaline driven in our chemical makeup versus endorphins. Endorphins drive us by our desire to want to show love. I guess what I'm saying is our culture is full of references to love and why we should feel a certain way. And I think there's another piece. You know, we get too caught up in love, and what that other piece is respect. So if I return to this idea from the book, Love and Respect, I talk about the idea that for men, respect may be a little more of a central and important thing than love. What Emerson said is that for men, it's like water. Respect is water. You have to have, you can't go long without respect. You can't go long without water. And love is more like the food. You could last a while without that. And the reverse is true for women. He says that for women, love is like water. You can't have that go without that for very long before you're desperate. But respect, you can go without a little longer. Now, I've got to say that I'm not sure whether I agree with that total balance, but I think he's on to something. I think that men really do have much more of a central focus on the feeling of respect, feeling respected, than women do. I'm not saying that women want to feel disrespected. I just think that men have a deeper sense of what that respect is. Now, one of the things I would add that isn't as much talked about is that both need civility and courtesy. That one of the things that I see really get in the way of relationships is a lack of civility and courtesy. I've watched people in my office treat each other in ways they would never treat their worst enemy in the rest of life. They would never, you know, if they ran into someone they didn't like on the street, they wouldn't treat them so poorly. They certainly don't treat them like a treasured partner, like a friend, like a good friend, like a best friend. They don't treasure that connection. And so they go about treating each other with civility, without civility and without courtesy. I've seen people insult each other with words that shock me to the point where I have to say, that's not allowed in my office. No name calling here, no belittlement here. And I have to at points say, you just need to treat each other nicely. You have to treat each other with some respect and with some love. And all that looks like civility and courtesy. So I want to add that in as kind of a secondary feature underlining all of this is the need for that civility and courtesy. The nice thing is that's always within our choice. It's always within our choice. Now, I also want to highlight that when Emerson is talking about both love and respect, he is talking about something that anybody can choose to show. He's not talking about the feeling of love. He's talking about the action of love. He's not necessarily talking about the feeling of respect, but the action of respect. So one of the pieces that I think is also important to highlight here is that Emerson is talking about the fact that oftentimes he's heard from people who said, you know, don't you think my spouse should love me unconditionally? And he poses the question, don't you think my spouse should respect me unconditionally? But I would like to challenge a piece that I truly believe that unconditional love is not a trait of marital love. I know that may be a shock to people, but I've proven it over and over. I've had people challenge me on this, and I simply ask, at which point will you choose not to love your spouse? And they tell me that they never would. And then I pose questions like, what if you found your spouse was involved in criminal activity, maybe harming someone else? Maybe they're abusive elsewhere. What if you found that they were unfaithful repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly? What if, what if, what if? And every time I can finally find a place where the person would say, you know what? I would stop loving them at that point, which tells me that they are not at unconditional love. Now, compare that to, for instance, a parent's love. I can tell you that there is nothing my child could do that would stop me from loving them. Might not approve of what they're doing. I might be upset with what they've done. I might be upset with the decision they've made. But my love for my children would be unconditional. A love for a spouse, I don't think can be unconditional. It's something to work towards. It's something to be trying to accept each other, but recognizing that there are always a limit. So I just want to kind of put that as a difference that I would have with Emerson's approach, is that I don't believe that there is even such a thing as spousal unconditional love. Just to kind of put that out. So here's the heart of what Emerson says. That women are trying to show love, and that can be disrespectful or feel disrespectful to men. And men who are trying to show respect can feel unloving towards women. Now, notice that both have the best of intentions. A woman might be trying to show love, and it feel like disrespect. A man might be trying to show respect, and it might feel like unloving. For instance, when women feel like there's a problem, it is a tendency of women to want to solve it, to want to not to fix the problem, but to come in and comfort, you know, the emotional part. If somebody's hurting, they might want to come in and pull close and comfort. But men have a rule to give other people space to process their emotions. So women have a rule that you go comfort. Men have a rule to give them space. Women have a rule of seeing a need and going and meeting it. Some men, and I don't use this as, I want us to be very clear here. This is not 100%. There are gray areas, but there are some gender differences. And men tend to give other people some room for them to try it themselves. Now, think about how that might play out. A man comes home having had a rough day, feeling bad, feeling maybe down emotionally, maybe upset, and a spouse, the wife, wants to comfort him, wants to make him feel better emotionally. But the man feels like that's disrespectful because a man would process those emotions. A friend might stand by your side, for a male friend might stand by a man's side while they are processing their emotions and not really say much, just to be there. You wouldn't see that between two women, generally speaking. So then you have the place where you also might have, for instance, a woman is struggling to get something done, struggling to do it, and a man would feel like it would be disrespectful to go do it. And so they might linger back a bit, giving them a chance. That could feel unloving to a woman who just sits there and goes, why are you watching me do this, knowing I need help and not pitching in? There are rules that we have, the male rule of letting someone try to do it themselves, not stepping in. You know, if a man was in a shop, right, someone's workshop, and the person is struggling with a toy or a tool, the man wouldn't step up and say, here, let me do that for you. That would be disrespectful. The man would stand there and maybe hint and maybe point at a few things, but would never step in unless invited. Now, if somebody was hurting, a woman would always want to go comfort. And I don't mean that they're just going to find someone in the grocery store and comfort, but in their social grouping, in their small group, they might not want to see that person hurting. And so it would be against the rules to not be offering some emotional support. You see how those different places might feel unloving or disrespectful to the other person. Now, let me say one more time before somebody writes me and says, that's not true for my spouse or that's not true for me. I understand this is not 100%. Women want respect. Men want love. I still would say that Egerich is right, that men have a deeper need for respect and women have a deeper need for love. It might not be far off, but there's a slight difference and it plays out in the relationship. It plays out in many different ways. For instance, Egerich describes what he calls face-to-face time. You know, he says if you go into a coffee shop and you look at and you see these two people who are huddled over the table and they're looking at each other face to face and they're in deep conversation, many times it's a woman, two women talking. Men have what we might refer to as, and he refers to as, shoulder to shoulder time, where it might not really even be a conversation. Now, this is one that I've heard more women kind of raise their eyebrows about and say, I don't get that. But I'll tell you from my personal experience, it's not been long ago that I, in warmer weather, that I was out front trail running with a friend of mine. We were out running a trail, and we were out for probably an hour and a half running on a pretty technical piece of trail. And we said very few words to each other. When we got there, we kind of joked around with each other and pat each other on the back. We take off running. And for the most part, we ran silently, except for the person in the front saying, watch the route. There's a rock. Here comes the stream. And the person in the back saying, you okay? Everything good? And we would switch places along the way. You know, one person would be pointing out and the other person running behind. Now, we get to the end of that run, and we both patted each other on the back and said, man, that was a great time together. And we talked about it for a few minutes and left, feeling very connected with each other, shoulder-to-shoulder time. That would not feel, for a lot of women, like connection time. So let's put that into a marriage where a woman says, we've got an issue, let's talk face-to-face. And they don't know what to do when a man says, can't we just watch TV and hang out together? And so they miss the opportunity that the other person might have for face-to-face time or shoulder-to-shoulder time because it feels like overbearing maybe for men to have that face-to-face, and it feels like disconnection to women maybe to have that shoulder-to-shoulder. And yet that's an understanding that's important to have, that maybe there are some gender differences, and I really believe that there may be some reasons for that. If we go back to a day when a lot of the times the men were out hunting and the women were at home gathering and raising kids, think about that. If you're out hunting, and I don't want to make this a big caricature, but if you're out hunting, what do you need to do? Do you need to be talking with each other, or do you need to be able to sit shoulder to shoulder waiting for the time to act? And then acting together as a team, but not necessarily having lots of conversations about it. But what if you're gathering? You know, I might find some really good acorns over here and you don't have them. So what do? We have to converse about that and figure out how to share and figure out how to cooperate. If we're all raising the kids together, what do? We raise them by cooperating. In other words, we might have some DNA pieces in there that imprint us with that, that make it a little more of a struggle when we're in intimate relationships. And so I use that as very broad strokes, and it's always dangerous to do that, but it's very broad strokes when I say, you know, maybe men have a deeper need for respect, and maybe women have a deeper need for love than vice versa. Maybe it is like that water and food, that we both might want respect and want love, but how that's delivered, if your primary focus is respect, you act in one way. If your primary focus is love, you act in another way. Even if your secondary is close behind, how you lead is going to be a bit different. So Egerich talks about the crazy cycle. Now, crazy cycle is this. I won't show you love if you don't show me respect, and I won't show you respect if you don't show me love, and round it goes. I won't show you if you don't show me. Now, I think it's better said, I won't show you love and respect when you don't show me love and respect, and around that cycle goes. There is no end to the cycle. We get stuck in that place of saying, you change, you show me love, you show me respect, and I'll change. Now, the healthier cycle, the choice to step out of the crazy cycle, is to say, you know what? I am going to continue to show love and respect, even when I'm not feeling love and respect from you. Notice the feeling part. Now, let me put a huge footnote here. This is not about abusive situations. This is not about you put up with all disrespect and no love for over and over and over again while you continue to show respect and continue to show love. That doesn't work. I'm talking about the typical patterns of disconnection and animosity that a couple might have built up. That at some point, what you're really wanting is your partner to change instead of feeling the need to change yourself. I put that footnote in because I always know when I do a podcast that somebody's going to say, well, it's not like that with this, so see, you're wrong. And I would agree that no matter what I say, it's not going to be true 100% of the time. I only want you to think about how it might be true for you. If it's not, great. Disregard it. But if there's a place where it fits, that's where you want to grab onto this. Are there times when you've realized that you've acted in loving, unloving, and disrespectful ways because you don't feel like you're getting the respect and you don't feel like you're getting the love? And notice I said feel. Because as we talked about earlier, a woman being loving can feel disrespectful, and a man being respectful can feel unloving. It may be that the spouse is not trying to be disrespectful or unloving, but is actually trying to be loving or respectful and is missing the other piece of that. And that requires us to step back and say, what if I've calculated this through my lens of respect or through my lens of love, and I've missed something else? I've missed something deeper. I've missed a place where I might be able to read it differently. We can choose to step into a different place. Imagine, for instance, that if you realize as a man that face-to-face time is important, that when there's a chance, you provide face-to-face time. And imagine if you're a woman realizing that shoulder-to-shoulder time can feel connecting to a man, might realize that sitting on that couch and watching that movie did feel connecting. It wasn't about the quiet that was really about the strain in the relationship, but maybe it was we share time together. Maybe it was a chance of connection that is missed because you expected your style of connection. That really is what this is all about. Maybe I'm missing something because my spouse is trying to provide something that I'm not seeing. And maybe I'm not providing what my spouse needs. So let me see if I can read it differently and I can provide it differently. Can I show love or respect, whatever hasn't been going on? The bottom piece of this, though, is real easy. How can I treat my spouse as someone I treasure, as a relationship that I want to hold on to, as a friendship that I treasure? That would be that level of civility and courtesy. That sometimes is easy. I watch spouses who never would ever say such things to anyone else in their life tear down their spouse out of anger. Rather than saying, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have that as my standard, that I would treat my spouse that way. Instead, I'm going to be civil in all things, and I'm going to be courteous in all things, and I'm not going to respond in like ways when it comes my way. I'm going to choose to act differently. That's about intentionality, of deciding to respond to a situation rather than react. When we feel like somebody's treating us disrespectfully or unlovingly or uncivilly or discourteously, we can have a choice at that point to say, am I going to respond in kind, or am I really react in kind, or respond in a way that I choose? Am I going to choose how I respond to those situations? So the difference between reaction and response is important. A reaction is pushing against what the other person has done. Response is choosing what I want to be, and who I want to be, and how I want to be, choosing that. That's intentionality. Okay, so here's the thing. We can always choose to act in loving and respectful and civil and courteous ways, regardless of the actions of the other person. Now, somebody is going to tell me that they shouldn't have to do that because their spouse is being mean or their spouse is being disrespectful or unloving, or you can label it however you want. And I would still say, if you respond, recognize that you're choosing to respond versus when you react, you're just reacting. It's not a choice. You're allowing that person's reactions and actions to shape how you're going to be in the world. In other words, you're following their lead. You can always step back and say, I'm going to do it differently. Any cycle, name any cycle, and it can only be disrupted when somebody chooses to step out of that cycle. So if the cycle is, I won't show you love and respect when you don't show me love and respect, and you're not showing love and respect when I don't show love and respect, and round it goes, I can say, you know what? I'm going to choose to be loving and respectful. I'm going to choose to be civil and courteous. I'm going to choose to treasure this other person. When that changes, the cycle is broken. Now, not all cycles suddenly move to a healthy place. Not all cycles can do that because there is an ingrained part. You know, sometimes I've watched when somebody really changes, they truly change how they're being in the world, and the other person keeps responding to them or reacting to them in that same old way. They keep reacting, being unloving and disrespectful and uncivil and discourteous, because the pattern is so ingrained. It can take some time to change the pattern when it's so ingrained. If you've been doing the dance for 25 years, it's going to be far different than if you've been having these arguments for the last 3 weeks. If you have found yourself having dug a deep trench and how the two of you are going to respond, it's going to be much harder to change it than if it's not become so ingrained. It's just kind of makes sense. It's logical sense, but we sometimes miss that. So a lot of times people will say, you know, well, I changed and they didn't, so why should I keep doing this? Because sometimes it takes a while to work through the damage that's been done, to get out of the rut that's been created. The longer it's been going, the deeper the rut, the longer it will take for each of you to get out of it. It'll take a while for you to realize that you're responding consistently differently, that you're choosing to be respectful, or you're choosing to be loving, and you're choosing to be civil and courteous. It can take some time for that to happen. You can find yourself drifting back to the old patterns. Those are those neuronal pathways in your brain that just drops back to the automatic response. But the more intentional you are, the longer you keep doing it differently, the more chance you have of transforming that into something that's much more beneficial to both of you. And that's really what we're looking for, is how to make this beneficial to both people, how you can move from the crazy cycle to a cycle where both of you are respectful and loving and courteous and civil. Okay, so I want you to just kind of think about, how might you be misreading this? How could it be that maybe you're looking at the spouse and saying, well, you know, they're not showing me any respect, and what they're really showing is love, or they're not showing me any love, and what they're really doing is showing respect. How can you choose to be courteous and civil in the midst of the struggle that might be going on? Let me know what you think about that. Give me some responses in the comment area below. Just let me know maybe some places where you've realized the difference. Maybe you've realized that maybe you've misunderstood some things. Now, also, I would ask for your help here. We try to spread the word. Let other people know. If you've heard something useful here, let other people know about it. And the way you can do that, if you're on Twitter, is simply type into your browser, whatever browser you're using. You can be on your iPhone or your iPad or anywhere else on your computer. Just type in SaveTheMarriage.com/love, L-O-V-E, SaveTheMarriage.com/love, and that's going to put a already pre-populated tweet ready to go. All you have to do is hit send. You can change it if you want, but it'll let people find this so they can get some help. Also, if there's a topic that you want to hear about, this is not a way of saying, so Lee, tell me how to get help for my marriage. Tell me how I can get this going. But it's a way of saying, you know, I'd really like to hear about this on the podcast. Just send me a note at podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. And that'll give us a good way of figuring out how we're going to move this forward, because we get lots of good feedback and lots of people saying, hey, could you talk about this? And that gives me some of the next steps that we'll be covering. Also, if you're interested in the Kindle book, you can find my Kindle book, How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps, just by going to SaveTheMarriage.com/Kindle. That's K-I-N-D-L-E. That's SaveTheMarriage/Kindle. And it'll send you straight to Amazon and you can get it there. Otherwise, I wish you the best. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save and improve your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.